Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by Kendall Gill, and we're fortunate enough to have Kelly Krull with us tonight. Fresh off another close loss at the United Center. You know, we're talking about in the postgame show, Kelly, that if you take these 5 or 6 games that they really should have won, close losses at the United Center, they'd be close to a 500 team. People would be talking about the Bulls like they were talking about Sacramento, Orlando, and this Brooklyn Nets team.
It's been so close. And I think that's why it's challenging when I go into the locker room after the games and I see the faces and the energy. I mean, all it takes is, 3-4 of those games being turned the other direction, and the vibe in there is completely different. And I'm not saying it's a bad vibe. It's just tough to have fun when you're not winning, and 7 wins is just not enough to be like energized. But you know, Boylan, even after this game, I mean, they played together, they fought together, and you know, again, they lose together. But Zach LaVine changes this game completely.
He does. And
the health is just, you know, they battled it all season long now.
You have, and you know, you got to give it to them for coming out and playing hard each and every night. Because first of all, you 4 of your players are injured at the beginning of the season. Your head coach gets fired. Then you have to get used to a new coach. Now Zach LaVine is out.
And so, Bobby Portis hurt his ankle.
Bobby Portis hurt his ankle again tonight. So it's, you sit in the locker room, you say, are we going to have any good luck at all?
Yeah.
And I think that's the point that these guys are at. And this game was a very winnable game. Mm-hmm. The game against Orlando is a very winnable game. So the games that they can win, being so shorthanded, when you have them in your hand, it hurts twice as bad when you don't get them, like tonight.
I was looking at the turnover stat most of the game, and I was thinking, wow, they're doing such a great job. They're taking care of the ball. Then in the last minute, you get an illegal screen called on Chris Dunn, and you get the turnover late. So 2 of their 8 turnovers come in the last 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. And what's that old saying? Is not what you do is when you do it.
Yeah.
And this has become the Achilles heel of Chris Dunn, to make mistakes at the end of basketball games when it's critical in critical situations. Had one the other night when he had a charge, when he pushed off on the guy, and it was a blatant push. He shouldn't have done that. And also tonight when he gets the charging call, and also when he goes and tries to get the ball from Justin Holiday. This is something that he must work on. He must correct, and he must correct it now. Because you don't know how many chances, when this team really starts to make some strides, you don't know how many chances he's going to get in order to be that starting point guard if he continues to make mistakes like this.
That's a big decision for the Bulls going forward, because I think they're pretty well decided that Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., and Zach LaVine are going to be part of this group going forward. But next fall, they'll have the option to extend Chris Dunn. They could look at point guards in the draft. They could look at point guards in free agency. So over these next 50 games, it's critical for him to try to solidify his future with this franchise.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's funny you should say that about the turnovers, Mark. I did the same thing. And one of the Bulls statisticians, PR staff, were sitting right next to me. And I saw it was like only 6 turnovers with about 6 minutes to go, because I got ready to tweet it out and tell everyone what a great job they were doing. Yeah. And he said, 7 is the low on the season. And so I was like, oh, so they're coming in under. And then, I go ahead and tweet it out. Before I know it, there you said it, like 3 turnovers late in the game. And, you know, also I think Boylan pointed out a couple of the things things that, you know, you look at some really positives. They outscored Brooklyn by 20 points in the paint.
They did.
Offensive boards, they did a really great job until the very end. There were two offensive boards that were very critical. And in my head, I remember thinking that came as soon as Bobby Portis left the court, too, right. In a way. He did so much work underneath. He certainly is a guy I think you look at in the Brooklyn game. What did he have, 16 points or
16
something off the bench?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really good. But back to what you were saying about Chris Dunn, as I still get to know these guys in this first year here with the team, I heard him say multiple times when he was asked about that final play, the turnover, whether it was the moving screen, you know, I got to go back and watch film. At one point, he turned around to Ryan Arcidiacono, you know, did you think it was a moving screen? I get the sense that he very much cares, but I think he is spending a lot of time in the film room right now, and I'd be curious to maybe follow up on that, Kendall, as you were saying, and just ask him, you know, how he's working on changing that in those critical moments, because it could be something mental where he's not focusing right at the right times, or maybe he's trying to overdo it in crunch time. And so as a guy at his age, though, how do you learn? How do you change those, I don't even know what you call them, concepts or misplays in the big moments?
Well, a guy at his age, what is he, 24, 25?
24.
He should already know. You know, and I'll be the bad cop.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot that. I didn't want to say it.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're
here. Yeah, that's why we're here. You know, you should know not to make critical mistakes like that, especially down towards the end of the basketball game. And, you know, it doesn't take you looking at film. You should just know I shouldn't do that. You know.
So, in other words, that was what he was just telling the media, so we'd stop asking.
I think
about
so.
It.
Yeah.
You know what's also interesting? Joe Colley, who covers the team for the Sun Times, wrote that Chris has been really short with his answers for most of the season because there was a report over the summer that the Bulls were unhappy that he wasn't working out as hard as he should have in the offseason. And Chris apparently held that against the media, and most of his answers are just short and direct without expanding on anything. So, you know, Kendall, you're always great with the media during your playing career. That's always a losing – or generally a losing battle when you're feuding with the media.
It's a losing battle. The media is going to do what they're going to do. They're going to say what they're going to say. So, you know, you might as well just be a good sport about it and be positive no matter what they say about you. You know, if I could – because sometimes I wouldn't be surly for a long time, but for a game or two, I might be kind of surly, but it's never worked. So, you know, I stopped doing it.
It's been a tough go for this team.
Sure.
They had to watch their laundry get pulled out in front of everybody, right? We think about that practice and somehow that leaks out. Yeah. And I mean, these guys have just kind of been thrown through the ringer this year. And I think, in a way, you probably start looking at everybody's against you, right? Who's for you? But, you know, Mark, I thought one of the guys we also got to talk to besides Chris Dunn was Lauri Markkanen, who a lot of the talk was, why did he not get more touches? Why was he not more involved in the offense?
Just one shot after the first quarter.
Yeah. So, I mean, Boylan definitely brought that up as it's got to get better. They've got to move the ball better. They got to find him. They've got to get him touches. I'm curious to hear from you, Kendall. Lowry now, he's not as concerned. I mean, I think Boylan said he wanted to see at least 16, right? Him get at least 16 shots kind of thing. That's the number. If it's more, great. But for Lowry, he stood there in front of all of us and said, you know, I just care about wins and losses. I want to win these games, however that happens. If tonight I'd only had the six, you know, touches and 6 points, whatever, I wouldn't have been upset, but we lost, so I am upset. But does he have to be the aggressor in this sense? I mean, because the offense isn't really set up for him to be getting more. But so how does he make it happen on his own?
We said this in the postgame show. Lowry has to be.
Sorry, I missed that. I was in the
You were downstairs in the locker room.
So if you could reiterate.
Yeah. But we said this in a postgame show. He has to become more of a dog.
Yeah.
You know, we knew.
That's what I thought you'd say.
And I said this. I want to see more dog in him because, to me, right now with Zach LaVine on, he's the best player on this team. He's the best offensive player. He has the height. He has the skill set. He can do everything. Now all he has to do, he has to become more selfish. And I know that people say, well, there's no I in team, but sometimes there is me, you know. And that's the thing that I want to see. That's the next step Lowry has to take.
Okay.
You know, my second year in the league, I wanted the basketball all the time. You know, I wanted to shoot it. I would get pissed if I had six. If I had six shots in my second year, I would be totally upset. I'd be at the gym right now, you know, and I think that that's what I want to see in Laurie. I want to see that fire where he tells the guys, get me the ball right here in the post, or get me, or look over to the coach and say, call my play, call my number, go get the ball and take it. That's how you establish. Look, Laurie Markkanen is one of the cornerstones of this franchise for the next 10 years. So he should have the freedom to do it, and he should feel he has the freedom to do that, because we don't know whether these other guys are going to be here, but he'll be here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
the other big news on Wednesday, which was not unexpected, Zach LaVine is going to be out more than just a few games. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with that sprained ankle. You could tell when he told Casey Johnson after the game in Mexico City, he felt something pop, that it was more than just a routine ankle sprain.
Speaking of the media, he wasn't real happy with that. Did you hear him before the game say, I don't know how Casey got that or how
really?
He heard it, but it was off the record. So he kind of, little dig at Casey, but I don't know how that conversation went down. But he did admit to hearing something pop.
Yeah, and the issue right now is the season for Zach LaVine. We're talking about the buzzard's luck for the Bulls this year, that everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. He was rolling along early in the season, scoring 25 a game. He was in the top 5 in league in scoring. We were all thinking that he might have a good chance to make the Eastern Conference All-Star team, and now all that kind of goes out the window, all that summer of hard work. Granted, he'll come back in 3 or 4 weeks. He'll have 40 games left, and hopefully he can have a strong finish to the season. But I know as a player, when you work that hard all summer, to see it kind of fall apart a little bit, that has to hurt Zach.
Yeah, and now you're looking, you've rolled back down the hill that you've climbed halfway up, and now you got to climb back up again, and that's the hard part mentally. But Zach being young and having a long career ahead of him, he'll muster up all of his energy again, and
he's a hard worker, which is his credit.
Absolutely.
And you know, improve on, and actually this could be a time when he sits out where he can watch video and say, okay, this is where I need to improve when I go back. So it might be a blessing in disguise, because defensively he still has a lot of work to do. He should go and watch film on those plays where he could have closed it out and he elected to take the 3-point shots instead of driving the ball to the basket. All these things that he can take and look at the video, he can come back actually a better player.
Well, the Bulls miss out on a chance to beat a Brooklyn Nets team that was hot but was playing on the second night of a back-to-back. They didn't seem like they were particularly efficient today. They were kind of struggling on their own end. Now, the Orlando Magic come in, and the Magic got beat by 39 on Wednesday, losing at home to the San Antonio Spurs. They were lucky enough to win a sloppy game in Mexico City against the Bulls. What do you expect from this team? You know, Jim Boylan keeps pushing. He did give them off of practice on Tuesday, but they'll
first
be
first time since he's taken over that they had a practice off.
Yeah, they'll be in the gym on Thursday, but he's really got to be searching for answers, because now he's almost put Chris Dunn into the Zach LaVine role.
Yeah.
But you know, then Lowry only gets 6 shots, so now it's kind of going back to the drawing board and trying to come up with a game plan.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he said, Mark, after the game, is, you know, we just have to stick together and we have to continue to push this. I did hear Lowry say a couple times, you know, a new system, I'm still figuring it out, we're still figuring it out, we're hearing a lot of that stuff still from these guys, the difference of what they were doing with Fred Hoiberg, and now to change it mid-season and try to, you know, extend the clock more and set up the offense. And so, yeah, I think they're going to go back to practice and go back to work. I will say this, they had very spirited ending to the practice. I'm not it's late at night. My words aren't
don't
coming out very
about
well
it.
Anymore.
Don't worry about
what I was trying to say, though, is I will say for the first time of going in and seeing the ends of the practices, which we get to do, you know, throughout the week, they're playing shooting games at the end, which is funny. It's ironic. It's almost like taking me back to college or high school days and the way
which is fun,
practices in. But yeah, you know, you got the second unit going up against the first unit, the first to 10 kind of stuff, and then switch it. But they were really into it at the end, yelling, screaming at one another. And even Boylan got down at the end and did push-ups with the team that lost. And so, I mean, I didn't see that when I was watching the end of Fred Hoiberg's practice. But then again, we may have just missed that part. It may have been earlier in the practice, so I don't want to say that he wasn't doing it. But I do get the sense that they are in a better spot than they were the Sunday that we started hearing all the reports come out about not showing up to practice. And that was, I feel like, it really was rock bottom. Even though they are still losing these games, I think they're trying to find progress in certain areas. So I'll be anxious to see. And going back to the Zach LaVine thing, I just wanted to add this in. It was interesting. He is taking such an optimistic approach versus what we're hearing from the PR staff and Boylan, who I think is very much trying to temper this more closer to 4 weeks versus the 2 weeks. But boy, Zach's going to certainly, you get the sense that he wants to get back out there as soon as he can.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, he came off an ACL injury where he had to sit out for a whole year and a half. I mean, I'm sure that I'm sure this is like, man, I want to get back out there.
Doesn't want to miss any more games.
Exactly. And I'll actually be anxious to see what happens to Bobby Portis. I hope this was just something that, you know, he can rebound from and still beat, because he'll make a difference in that Orlando game. You know?
Absolutely. Will.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gale, and Kelly Krull with us. And I was joking in the pregame show, Kelly, that I think I found my guy in the draft. Last year, it was Mikal Bridges.
Yes.
You know, I was beating the drum for the Bulls to select him. And watching him play with Phoenix, I have to admit, I might have been wrong.
That's okay. I was wrong on Luwawu.
Yeah,
yeah,
Timothée Luwawu Cabarrot.
Yeah, I was wrong on him.
Who's now sitting at the end of whose bench is he on? I think he's in Oklahoma City now. Yeah, Philadelphia.
Well, I saw you guys in the pregame show had the guy in the background who had the Zion board on.
Yeah,
you know?
Fans are ready.
They're
dying for Zion, as has become the rallying cry. But we showed some highlights of this kid. He's a 6'3" sophomore guard at Murray State. And I saw a little bit of Dwayne Wade in him when he was at Marquette, the way he was blocking shots off the backboard and really attacking the basket. And who knows? We saw highlights of getting, they're playing the Purple Aces of Evansville. It's not like they're playing the Celtics or the Warriors. So you have to wait to see how these things play out. But one thing you can see when you watch a college game is you can see the athleticism stand out.
Oh, absolutely. And you can see the way that he can handle the basketball. He can shoot it. The way that he delivered the ball on passes, and him being 6'3" point guard, you have to be able to do that. And then you put athleticism with that. That makes you a really, really nice point guard to be looked at in the draft.
Oftentimes the composure and the poise too when it comes to the point guard. I feel like sometimes you see these guys like with the Trey kid the year ago at Oklahoma, Trey Young. Well, I don't know that he had the best showing down the stretch, but for the most part, you saw that in him, and he's been able to convert that here at the next level a little bit.
Yeah, I was so excited. I don't even think I said the kid's name. It's Ja Morant.
Ja Morant.
J.A. Morant. And I have to make sure we get the, whether it's Ja or Jay, but what I heard, they were calling him Ja. So we'll go with that for now until we're correct.
I like it.
So that's somebody to watch. I don't know if you've got the Ohio Valley Hoops on your package of
it's always YouTube
on demand
always YouTube
options, but keep an eye on him. There's a kid, Kevin Porter from USC, who's supposed to be an exciting wing player. I watched part of one of their games, so I really have no conclusions on him, but I thought he might have been a little bit overhyped. But you got to see these kids 6, 7, 8 times before you get a feel for what they're all about.
Really,
somebody that we have seen 6, 7, or 8 times is the aforementioned Zion Williamson. He hit his head on the backboard blocking a shot yesterday. I think they're playing Princeton or something like that. But do you think this kid is – I don't want to say he's going to be the next LeBron, but do you think he could be the next kind of franchise-changing player to come out?
Yes, because of his athleticism. Because he's such a freak of nature at 285 pounds to be able to do all the things that he does. He can handle the basketball. He passes. He makes the right decisions on the basketball court, which is what I really want to see from him. Does he know how to play the game? His jump shot, a little bit suspect, but that will come along with time and repetition. So, I fully expect him to change the crowd.
Can he play the three in the NBA? Because that's what the Bulls would want.
I think he can. I mean, look at his athleticism, and we're asking him, can he play the three?
Yeah.
He can do anything he wants to do. You know, is he LeBron? Probably not.
Yeah, I always said the comparison I had with him was Sean Kemp, because, you know, Sean Kemp, when he was young, could jump out of the gym. He was so athletic, and you didn't really think about what position he was a four, but you know, because he was such an athletic freak, he was making these incredible plays on both ends of the court. And I think that's more of what Zion's going to be. He's going to be a power player, maybe in the mold of a Charles Barkley, although Charles Barkley was more of a pure scorer than I think this guy will be.
Right, and I mentioned earlier Larry Johnson.
Yes.
You know, the one thing that I haven't seen from Zion is his post-up game, and that's the one thing that I want to see. If he has any where near the post game that Larry Johnson had, he's going to be a really good player, because right now I see him on the perimeter. I see him being able to handle a basketball and take it past guys where he's wide open. But if he can work on his jump shot and work on the post game, he's going to be an NBA superstar. I mean, I think he's just a can't-miss prospect.
And some people think the other kid at Duke, R.J. Barrett, may turn out to be the better pro. He's a lefty. He's got kind of a shifty game. He can mm-hmm. score inside and outside, and he had 27 points on Tuesday night. He's a pure scorer. I think that would be an ideal fit in terms of the Bulls lineup. He's a guy that could play that small forward position.
You know, it was interesting to ask about some of these guys has been Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah,
who's got all the scouting reports because he also knows them as, you know, kind of the personalities a little bit, even if they weren't around a whole lot. But you're right, Mark. Yeah, he makes a lot of sense too. But I guess I look at it just because I have spent so much time with the Cubs, and I look where they are now trying to find the right pieces. The Bulls just want talent. Am I right? I mean, it's not so much about
you got to find a super athletic player.
Serious talent. Yeah, and I think either of those names would have the crowd here at the United Center going nuts thinking about the thought, salivating over the thought of having either one of those guys right now.
Yeah, the Bulls now have played 32 games, so we're getting closer to the halfway point of the season, and I kind of swore to myself I'm not going to talk about the draft. I don't want to talk about the draft. I'm not going to watch 300 college games like I did last year, but the way the season's gone,
I'm impressed too, because like
you got to do what you got to do.
The purple aces.
Mark watches everything.
You know, I was gonna, you know, because Paxson said at the beginning of the year on media day, he said we're too deep at every position. You know, we're healthy. And all that went out the window the first week of training camp. They were thinking, you know, I don't think it was ever the goal to make the playoffs, but if it had happened, they'd have been thrilled because it may only take 35 to 38 wins to get that last spot in the East. But now, from a front office perspective, and I know we can't get inside their heads, but do you think almost now, 32 games into the season, they're thinking, all right, we're playing for the draft again?
I think so, because you've dug yourself a hole. What are we,
7-25.
7-25 right now. That's a heck of a hole to get out of, you know, and you might as well go ahead and play for the draft pick now. I mean, because – and I don't know, maybe Zach's ankle needs maybe 1 week. But if you can extend it to 4, it may help your chances.
Yeah, the conspiracy theorists would certainly agree. But the problem is with the change in the lottery odds, the bottom three teams all have the same odds, 14%. So you want to be in that bottom three group.
And do you worry about these young guys, the Larry Markkanens, that you're – I don't want to say you're losing a season for them because they should be learning how to play together. But, gosh, keeping their spirits up and their drive.
Yeah, that's a tough thing.
It seems like it would be really hard if you're just like, all right, guys, we're throwing in the white towel.
Yeah, well, they probably won't.
I knew they wouldn't say it.
Yeah, they won't say it, but, I mean, you know, doing little things like that. You know, I can remember once when I was playing with the New Jersey Nets, I came via trade with the Charlotte Hornets. We started winning like crazy. Okay, then I break my hand, and I return in a month, but we still have a chance to make the playoffs. So as the day I get my cast off, I go to we have a game that night, and I'm there early shooting the basketball. And Willis Reed finds out I'm out on the court shooting. He comes out. He's like, "Hey, you know you're not coming back, right?" And I go, "What do you mean I'm not coming back?" He's like, "We're playing for the draft pick."
What?
He told me just told like you. That. Yeah, and it ended up being the 7th pick, Kerry Kittles, which was very
could have been Kobe Bryant.
It could have been Kobe Bryant. I got a story about that too.
Well, tell us. These are good stories.
Yeah, I got a story about that too. But these things happen, you know. And you know, I don't think that it's happening right now. But I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you know Zach could play like in a week or two.
Now I know you've told that story before, but Kelly wants to hear it, and some of the people don't hear all of our podcasts. So quickly tell the Calipari story.
The Calipari story. Well, I'm sitting in the draft is in Secaucus, New Jersey.
I'm in the
hotel room with my agent Arn Tellem, who represents Kobe Bryant. So Arn is on the phone with John Calipari, and he's saying that, listen, we're going to take Kobe at number 7. And then Arn is going ballistic. I can't tell you how many curse words he said. But he said, I swear to God, if you take him, we're going to go to Europe. So he says, I already have a deal set with the Lakers and the Charlotte Hornets to swap Kobe Bryant and Vlade Divac. Okay? So the pick comes up. John Calipari with the New Jersey Nets with the 7th pick in the draft select Kerry Kittles. So they select Kerry Kittles. Then in the press conference right after the pick, John Calipari goes, "Well, Kerry Kittles is the guy we had our eye on all along."
Yeah, what else is he going to say? Because he got
oh, wow.
he got played by the agent.
Oh, yeah,
like, and I'm sitting here in the hotel room like, "No, you're not lying." You're lying.
Hey, how many times have we seen a GM say that was the guy we wanted all along?
Yeah, that's the guy we wanted all along.
Yeah. That's exactly how we drew the playoff. That's the guy we wanted all along. This was how, yep.
And a minute and 30 seconds before that, he had his heart set on taking Kobe Bryant.
Wow.
Yeah,
one for my book.
Life of an NBA executive. You never know what's going to happen in this day with high-powered agents and players trying to dictate where they want to go. We'll see what happens. We got 50 games left in this as the Bulls fall to 7-25. The Orlando Magic come in on Friday. We'll have that game for you on NBC Sports Chicago. Stacey's going to join us for the pregame show, and Kelly's going to be doing her outstanding work courtside.
Yes. One-on-one.
So make sure you tune in on Friday night. We thank you so much for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Remember, you can find all of our shows at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple, Stitcher, and Google Play. So as we get closer to the holidays, we'll probably talk to you one more time before Christmas.
Oh, yeah,
but enjoy your time with family and friends, and we'll see you Friday night.